Welcome to the Words of Life program. We are brought to you each week by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who pray and donate for this gospel program. Our speaker is Brother David Johnson, the minister of the Sellersburg, Indiana Church of Christ. This week's sermon is based upon two words written in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, 1 through 6. Amen. Hallelujah. We will hear Brother David Johnson in a few minutes, but first we present singing in praise of our Lord.
Thank you.
Father, we are thankful that you lift us out of the depths of sin through Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much. And Lord, we pray that you will bless each of our listeners with convictions and salvation. We also trust you for blessing them with health, your peace, and the provisions that are needed. Throughout the world, there are people faithfully working and living for you. Please protect them from persecution and opposition from Satan. In our busy lives, we sometimes fail to keep in mind that Jesus is going to return for his church. Help us to be mindful and ready. And thank you for hearing us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Based upon Revelation 19:1-6, Brother David Johnson will present a sermon entitled, Amen, Hallelujah.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Amen, Hallelujah. And our primary text is taken from the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 19:1-6. Please listen to the Word of God. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are His judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of His servants. And again they shouted, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen, Hallelujah! Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you, His servants, you who fear Him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like the loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. What a tremendous passage from the Apostle John, inspired of the Holy Spirit. Few sermons these days, on Sundays in particular, are delivered on the topic of unfulfilled prophecy. Usually this is due to the subject matter being complicated with a lot of prophetic terms that need to be explained even to Christians, and yet so little time for any depth of study. When people hear talk of pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, premillennial, amillennial, and the like, well, it's all so very confusing and controversial that it turns many people off. I heard a woman in another congregation complain when a prophetic sermon was announced. She stated, Why is that even necessary or needed? Our lesson, nevertheless, is rather straightforward, simplified, and yes, necessary and needed because it pertains to Scripture, revealed to us by God, preserved by God for us and our understanding. Furthermore, the unfulfilled prophecy that I will be sharing is clear, basic prophecy that all Bible-believing Christians can accept and understand. Let's consider together 4 prophecies. Number 1, throughout the Bible, the second coming, the bodily, literal return of Jesus Christ, is a prophetic future reality. The glorious centerpiece of unfulfilled prophecy is the visible return of the once crucified and now glorified Son of God, Jesus Christ. His coming will be more awesome than lightning filling the entire skies across the universe, across the earth, producing a sudden burst of dazzling glory that will surely stun earthlings on the planet at that time. Many are surprised to learn that references to the second coming outnumber references to the first coming by a factor of 8-1. Bible scholars have identified 1,845 different biblical references to the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, Messiah's return is alluded to in no less than 17 of 39 books. And in the New Testament, it is revealed in 23 of 27 books. In the New Testament, one out of every 30 verses teaches that Jesus Christ is returning. The fact that Christ's second coming features so prominently in Scripture is an indication that this coming event is important to God and therefore should be important to mankind. Yes, this is necessary and needed unfulfilled prophecy we can easily understand, but sadly many do not believe will occur or rarely hear about it. Really, even revealed from the Old Testament? Listen to Jude. Yes, I know it's in the New Testament, the book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Quote, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of His holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts that they have done in the ungodly way and all of the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. End quote. Who will be the judge of mankind? Answer, John chapter 5 and verse 22. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that is, the Son of God, even Jesus the Christ. So the Enoch of the first book of the Bible, that is Genesis, Enoch the seventh from Adam, predicted the second coming of Christ. Also, in the Old Testament, for example, the prophet Daniel prophesied the return of Messiah, God's anointed one. Consider Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is the one that will never be destroyed. End quote. Son of Man refers to Messiah, or Christ, here. He is coming, and all peoples, nations, and men of every language are earthly terms, and therefore Messiah will return and be worshipped by all eventually. In the New Testament, consider the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, verses 27 and verse 30. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 30. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Similar to the terms Daniel used, by the way. Why will the nations mourn? They will because most will be unbelievers that will suddenly realize that they have not repented and not believed. Also, consider, for example, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 28, which says, So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of the many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. This towering Everest of unfulfilled prophecy is obviously still future. Jesus is alive and coming again. This needs to be necessarily reminded of and reinforced by believers today. The number two solid prophetic event clearly revealed and as of yet unfulfilled is that all the unbelievers shall be justly punished. The patriarch Abraham exclaimed in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25, which says in part, Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Absolutely. Many think the unbelievers have lived successfully in an unrighteous manner and have escaped judgment. They will not escape. God will not be mocked. Having decreed that the sowing of evil without repentant faith always brings inescapable condemnation, great violence and corruption awaits righteous settlement. Jesus Christ, deity in bodily form, will return as the supreme and perfect judge. No endless appeals will be possible. Satan, the fallen angels, and all the unrepentant unbelievers will be judged with pure justice. Consider Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. But the lake and fire contradict. This will not be a natural place, but a supernatural place of eternal punishment. According to Scripture, consider the words of the judge Jesus Christ himself in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, which says, "Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." Therefore, earth's long dark night will finally be over. Yes, this will be needed and necessary. Finally, a new day will have dawned, the home of only the righteous. The third prophetic, unfulfilled prophecy will be God will introduce a new perfect order. The eternal future will eventually be a new and cleansed cosmos, a new heaven and a new earth. Consider a wonderful prophecy all believers can all agree on and anticipate. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Is this needed? Is it necessary? Absolutely, it's needed and necessary. If most can't handle all the differing, confusing details of the future unfolding of God's plan, surely believers can rejoice in the ultimate new order that awaits our groaning creation. Number four, and finally, God will have his final say regarding this old world, and believers will shout, "Amen, hallelujah." Listen again. Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. "After this I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants." And again they shouted, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like the loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns." Let us picture ourselves as God's saints in that great multitude, shouting all those hallelujahs and amen. All wrongs finally have been righted. Many listeners and readers of these inspired words are troubled by words pertaining to God, such as his judgments. He has condemned. He has avenged. We should clearly understand that all of God's attributes are perfect. Yes, God is love, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. However, God is also perfectly and equally just. His justice must prevail over a fallen world. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 2, which says in part, "For true and just are his judgments." Yes, this too is needed. Yes, this true is necessary. When humans state amen, it means may it be so. But when God would claim amen, it means it shall be so. No compromise, no appeal, just perfect justice and perfect love. Would we really want it any other way? So God will have the final word, and His way is always righteous. We should understand that, yes, God is love. Yes, love is the greatest attribute. It is eternal. It will go into eternity. The agape, selfless love of God, which believers will have in glory when we are glorified. And yet, the attribute of God that is the greatest, that is referred to, that is repeated in Scripture more than any other virtue, any other attribute of God, is not love. It is holy. Holiness. God is holy, holy, holy. He must punish and condemn sin and sinners because He is holy, holy, holy. God is just. Someone has written, quote, "It will be a finished symphony of a redeemed and perfected creation. Sin never again will raise its ugly head. The new heavens and the new earth will enter a partnership of eternal and joyous harmony, and everything that has breath will praise the Lord forever and ever." End of quote. And the church should now shout what? Amen. Hallelujah.
We pray that you have assurance that you will be with Jesus for eternity. If you do not, please understand that you must first believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. God's Word shows us that believers are to repent of sins, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion in water. If we can help you in your relationship with Jesus, please write to us. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, request program number 2317. That's 2317. We want to hear from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.